This is Sam Christopher, the writer of episode 910, Arcane Wireless. You're listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
The greens, especially the beans. Welcome back to the award-winning The Blacklist Exposed podcast. Greetings, one and all. I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Special Agent Rory. And you know, Troy, for a second there, I thought I was watching The Sopranos again. And thanks for joining us yet again for number 154 on The Blacklist, Arcane Wireless, written by Sam Christopher and directed by Michael Caracciolo. Show notes and other intel for this episode of The Blacklist Exposed can be found at theblacklistexposed.com.
Hey, Rory, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Troy. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a while. Aaron usually goes out of town, you know, in March, but for some reason, they made him go walking in Memphis, and apparently he got that joke 100 times while he was in Memphis this week.
Was he walking with his feet 10 feet off of the ground?
Yeah, I know, right? Especially singing a lot of Elvis everywhere he went, too. The one thing Aaron is not is a hunk of burning love, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that is for sure. That is for sure.
Winter packs on a few, right? No, just kidding. Love you, buddy.
The camera adds 10 pounds.
Exactly right. So what you been up to lately, man?
You know, living the dream. You know, trying to survive in this post-COVID world.
I know, right? It's interesting. We're finally at the point of, I think we could call it the endemic, because we have mask mandates being lifted here in Illinois, finally, as of March 1st. So how's life there in the closer to New York City over there?
Cold. Just cold.
You guys still wearing masks out there, too?
Out here, really, for the most part, it's pretty optional, I guess, unless you work, you know, in one of the stores and things like that, and they require it. But as far as for us, you know, I'm vaccinated, so, you know, for me, it's not a big deal. I haven't worn a mask in a while, but I did get COVID, but it was mild at best.
Yeah, that's about how I've been here.
Thankfully.
So, well, it's good. Well, I'm glad you're here, man, filling in again this week. Aaron will be back next week. I think we should talk about any Olympic stuff that you watched.
You know what I really found that was cool? The monobob.
Interesting.
I don't know if you watched that. Yeah, it was fun. I mean, I'm a big bobsledding guy because I think it's kind of fun to watch them, especially after watching, you know, the Jamaican bobsled team.
Feel the rhythm, feel the ride.
But, exactly. Come on, everybody. It's bobsled time. But I enjoy watching that. And then when I saw monobob, I was like, this is cool. Even the name is cool because they could have just called it bobsled. But just calling it monobob just sounded cool. So I had to watch it.
Sounds like a transformer.
It's fun to watch that. I don't know if I could do that, but it would be fun.
Was this a new sport this year?
I think monobob was it. I mean, obviously bobsled's been around forever, but this was a new event, monobob.
Well, and what makes monobob different from, like, was it the luge, right? Where you have the one man sled?
Well, the luge is on the little sled. The bobsled's in the bobsled, but the monobob is just one person. Normally it's doubles and fours, I think.
Yeah, is it like driving a full bobsled, or is it like a smaller mini, like space shuttle?
It's a little bit smaller, but not much smaller than the one they use, I think, for, you know, two people.
Man, I can't even imagine like trying to turn that thing just with yourself. I mean, wow.
And brake.
Yeah.
And do 80 miles an hour on an ice track that wants to flip you. That
exactly.
would be
funny. No, but
minus the flipping part.
I just stuck with my usual. I watched the curling like 24/7. Just on in the back.
I want to try that. I do want to try curling, I'll be honest.
There you go.
It's not a thing here. We have axe throwing instead.
Yeah, the men's team, obviously Schuster skipping as usual, got down to the the semifinals playing against Britain, and Britain was obviously the best team in the world, and it was just like, oh man, it was the ninth and tenth end for the US Britain game was just fascinating. Fascinating.
It's such a cool game. I think just strategically, it's a really cool game. And then on top of it, you know, all that goes into it, you know, sliding and making it curl and all. I'd love to do it.
I know. When people think it's boring, but it's like, no, it's actually like it's a really fun and hard sport.
Yes, it's strategic. And then imagine, I don't know how they slide down the ice like that without busting their butt.
That's true.
I could just imagine like all the people trying to learn how to do this, just falling and just sitting there with ice packs.
Well, after the Olympics ended, we got some pretty big news. Of all places, it was James Spader on The Tonight Show who announced that season 10 of The Blacklist is going to happen.
Oh, where's my party popper?
Woohoo! what are your thoughts about going another 22 episodes next year?
I don't know how to feel about this. I would normally be excited for it. I was excited to see what this season would bring, you know, because I'm looking at it, you know, as we've talked about, I'm invested in these characters, you know, regardless of the mythology of the show, which me, I put to bed at the end of season 8, thought, come back for a new season 9. Let's see the direction we go. And I'm still skeptical. I enjoy the show for what it is. So I'm going to enjoy another season of it, but I'm curious to see where they go with it.
Yeah, it's interesting because even when the show was new, like season 1, you didn't exactly know what to expect. And it felt like a case of the week episode, but you had this underlying feeling, especially when you come out of the gate going like, oh, who is Red to Liz, right? You wonder what is going to be the thing that keeps me coming back every single week. And the thing that kept us coming back was, well, how are all of these clues connected? Right. And then you get to, oh, Tom isn't Tom. And then you get, oh, Berlin is actually a bad guy. And it spanned over 2 seasons, right? Because you had the cliffhanger at the end of season 1.
Right.
And those are the things that I think really keep a network TV show of 22 episodes going forward, right? Because in this day and age, it's 10 episodes in streaming or 8 episodes in streaming. And I think what's also interesting is that the streaming services have even gotten to the point where they don't want to drop the whole season at one time now, because you talk about Stranger Things for a week and then no one talks about it again, right? They talked about Reacher for a week and no one talked about it again. And so they're either going to the week by week release, kind of like HBO does on a regular basis, or they're doing like Maisel, Mrs. Maisel, which is by Rachel Brosnahan, by the way, who was on Blacklist season 1 as Lucy Brooks. They're dropping Maisel on Amazon like 3 episodes at a time, which I think that's the right answer.
I like that because you're basically, it's a movie,
right?
It's the movie of the week. Cause it's going to go for at least an hour and a half.
And you have a chance to like write an arc then, right? Cause you can have a 3 episode arc that would actually keep people entertained that could then set up, you know, the sequel to the movie, the next time the next 3 episodes drop out. So,
right, and it keeps the conversation going.
And it reminds me of the olden days of TV miniseries where you had like 2 hours over 3 nights. You know, the Dramatist Strain comes to mind, or The Stand. Yes. And I think those were fun. And I think that maybe network television hopefully could change that concept next year and do something a little bit different to keep itself.
You know, you really current. You just dated yourself with that reference, you know, right?
I mean, it is what it is. They were good. I liked them, especially
I agree.
The guy that played Randall Flagg in that version of The Strand with Gary Sinise, who's like at the, you know, business in the front, party in the back, hair mullet with a jean jacket. It was awesome.
You know, it's just, I think, you know, network television is going to have to find a way to compete with streaming servicing. Yeah, I just think that it's taking over.
And this is like the scheduling thing is interesting, right? Because like we did 9 episodes of The Blacklist and then went on break for the Olympics. So there's a perfect 13 episodes left, right? That's like the old streaming season kind of, you know, sweet spot, if you will.
Right.
And if you look at the schedule, I think we got 12 episodes left now after this week. And there's probably 14 weeks left in the TV season. So I'm assuming there's going to be at least 1 or 2 Fridays here, because we're back on Fridays, everybody, in case you didn't know. There's 1 or 2 Fridays that will be off, you know, probably Easter, maybe one during March for the March Madness weekend. So would it be not behoove us to have like, okay, here's 9 episodes of standalone CSI Criminal of the Week kind of thing, but then have a really great 12 episode story arc that just drives home what we need to do. And then instead like, and we'll get into it for this week, but it's like, We unless there's a reason for Red to do what the things are that Red is doing, even though I'm invested in the characters, I don't know if I want a season 10.
Yeah, I mean, because we can't see the big picture.
And
we don't know the direction they're going with this.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, you could say it's a 2-year time jump and reinvent the show, and I'm all good with that. Like,
that's fine.
The season has been good television. It's better than most stuff you see on TV, especially the Endgame, because the Endgame is crap and a complete ripoff.
Agreed. Agreed.
No offense to any of the actors that are acting on it. It's just I've seen this show. I don't need to see it again. And exactly. The power of the Blacklist has always been that there's like, why is Red doing this? Why does Red need this bad guy? And if that connective tissue isn't there, even though that they want to reinvent the show and do more Case of the Week stuff, which is fine, I think you still need the connective tissue for it to feel like the Blacklist. Otherwise, it literally becomes NCIS or CSI.
Right. And exactly. And that's the other thing, too, going back to when you referenced season one, we're watching all these things and we're like, wow, these Blacklisters, this is great. And then that one scene where Liz has them all on the floor where she connects all the dots and you're like, oh, my God, I didn't even see that coming. They were all connected for him to find out what he needed to find out. The whole season was connected. I feel like we're not connected anymore.
Exactly. It's a complete disconnect. And then I think this is the challenge, right? Because you said, and everybody knows how I feel, like season 8 was really the answer to the question that we've all been wanting this entire time. Like, how do we lean into that? Because I feel like they're trying not to say that it was answered, even though it was pretty clear.
It was.
How do we lean into that without just overtly giving the answer, right? Like, I thought it was sweet. Like, was it last Bookman Baptiste? I think it was, where they were the two grandfathers reading to their grandchildren the storybooks. Like, that kind of stuff is cool because you're like, hey, for the people that get it, like, here's a hint, right? But for the people that don't get it, they can still be like, oh, isn't it sweet that they're reading to the kids? And they can.
Right. And we've had this discussion before as far as could the show continue if the mythology ends? And it absolutely could.
And I think it absolutely could. I think this season could have been very much a wrestler versus Red, because he blames Red for Liz's death. And you could have had the two of them go at each other for a while. And then we got into
they
the whole
that off in 20 minutes.
Exactly. And then the same thing happened with Dembe with the envelope. I'm like, well, that could be a really cool story. Like, dig into how did Dembe get the envelope? Why did, what did Liz do after she got the envelope? And how does Red feel about the envelope? And does Dembe go into? I mean, there could have been like 6 episodes, and so they answered that in like 10 minutes as well in the next week.
That's the thing. That's the confusing part, is because with the Blacklist, we always had to wait for the answers. They always answered things, but we usually had to wait. And this, they're wrapping everything up in half an episode.
Yeah, and I think the cool thing would be like, let's tell stories about Katarina's past. You know, who are the people that she ran around with for 20 years? Who are the people that were chasing her for 20 years? I think that would Anton Velov, right? He was this KGB that just completely tracked her down and couldn't find the ghost. You know, what if there was some kind of storyline where Anton Velov, a bunch of bad people are taking out Red's operation one by one, which has kind of been happening as the course of this season has been going along. We now know why.
Right.
But as they're taking down these operations, like, Red's getting pissed off. Like, who's attacking me? Who is this person? Right. Same that concept for this year. And then you come to find out that the big bad at the end of the season was Anton Velov's kid, right? Revenging, the death of his or her father for all this time he spent hunting a person that didn't exist, even though she was there in plain sight the whole time. Like, that would be cool, because then it sticks with the backstory and the mythology and things of that nature. But we're not getting that like hint of what is the big thing. What is the end game, if you will?
exactly. But that's the thing too. Like, we're referencing NCIS. It seemed like NCIS was week to week, case of the case, bad guy invested in the characters, but there was always an overlying big bad for the season. Whether it was half a season or the entire season, there was an overlying arc. And on the Blacklist right now, we do kind of have, but which one is it? Is it Cooper getting set up for murder? Or is it somebody coming after Red from the inside, because now they're using the FBI to go after Red? So what's going on?
And
which one is it?
This week in particular, nothing about Cooper. Like, it's like dropped, like the story doesn't exist, you know?
Right.
Versus and like a
obviously
nugget.
It's out there.
Like, there could be a thing like the secret caller. Yeah. Do you like scary movies? maybe he's using an arcane wireless phone. Yeah. Or something like you tie in a nugget, just a nugget, something that we'd just be able to figure that out. I think that'd be helpful for us to keep the engagement and interest up. Right. Cause I've seen
right. Because what's next week going to be? I mean, cause they don't show highlights, you know, clips anymore. Not that I watch them, but what's next week going to be? 45 minutes of the Cooper thing.
Yeah.
And we're not going to touch Red and what's going on with Red. Like, you have to connect and keep the story engaged somehow in each episode. Something just to remind us what's going on.
So before we get into the episode this week, one other thing of business we want to kind of touch on. This is going out to you all, the fans, right? We've been here 9 years, 9 seasons going strong, covering the show. There are definitely some things in Aaron and my personal lives that are a little bit time consuming as of late. And so we wanted to know from all of you for our profiling question for next week. We're toying around with the idea of, you know, do we keep doing the podcast on a week by week basis, episode by episode? Because here's the thing we're kind of struggling with. Unless there's a mythology or there's things to theorize or talk about, it makes it very challenging for a podcast like ours to exist, right? Because if we don't have speculation and theories and fan participation and things of that nature, you know, it just becomes like, okay, well, here's what happened on the Blacklist this week. It's a recap episode. And Aaron and I have never been those types of people to be a recap podcast. We want to dig into the characters. We want to see, are they evolving? Are they staying true to form? You know, what is the music and how does it tie in and why did they pick that song and all that kind of stuff where it actually adds value to the show, right? We obviously love the Blacklist. We keep watching the Blacklist, but we want to make sure that this podcast is worth your time, obviously, because it takes us a lot of time to put it together and put it out and post it and all of that fun stuff. So we were toying around with the idea of what if we were to do like 3 episodes at a time, right? Like if the streaming networks are dropping 3 episodes like Mrs. Maisel, and then you could do a podcast about 3 episodes at once, because maybe there would be more of a connective tissue and, insight to make a podcast worth more conversational topic discussion than just doing the standard week by week thing. So we want to know from you, we'll ask you, Rory, since you're here, you know, you've been super fan, right? You did all the climbers back in season 2 and everything. You know, would you keep listening to the Blacklist Exposed? Would you keep on being a fan of the podcast if we switched from a, you know, once a week format to a every 3 weeks we'd cover off and we do 4 more podcasts for this year?
I mean, either way, I mean, I'm a loyal fan of the podcast first and foremost. So whether it's once a week, twice a month, you know, once a month, whatever it is, I'll still always listen just to get insight and connect with everybody else and see what their thoughts, opinions, and feelings are. I would be okay with, you know, twice a month, every other week. It seems like you said, an episode like, you know, last night's, how much can you really dig into it? There really wasn't much there. It was more a little character development, Aram focused, you know, how much can we really dig into? There wasn't anything to really go and connect back to any part of the season at all.
Yeah. And especially as you think about season 10, like, do we like, oh man, like season 9 is it, Blacklist Exposed goes away and we don't cover the 10th and potentially final season. Or do we have this kind of format used for season 10 as well, right? So it's kind of the things we're trying to think of the future, and we want to make sure that this is worth your time as the audience, especially the time for the patrons who do support the podcast. So we just like to hear your thoughts. So you can do that at feedback@goldenspiralmedia.com. Again, feedback@goldenspiralmedia.com. Let us know how you feel. We'll put up a poll on Twitter. We'll put up a poll on the Facebook group. Just let us know your thoughts, because we're just curious, you know, if everybody's like, no, do it week to week. And then, you know, we'll keep doing it week to week, because we're here to serve the fans. You know, we're not here to serve us. So just a profiling question for next week, and then we'll give you the results, and we'll let you know when Aaron gets back next week after Aaron and I get a chance to chat and to decipher all the intel, if you will. And we'll make a decision as we go forward.
And remember, just like real life, you can't complain about the results if you don't vote.
Correct. So we definitely want to hear from you. So, you know, thousands of you are still listening to the podcast. We expect to get at least a 10% response. So make sure that you get out there. Feedback at goldenspiralmedia.com. Find the poll on Twitter. Find the poll on Facebook. We'll have them up there shortly after the podcast releases so that we can go from there.
Come on. You guys are so invested in this show. You're not going to see it to the end. Of course we are.
Well, now before the task force accidentally busts up our operation, let's go ahead and get into this week's case profile. Well, this week we're focusing on a baddie known as the Seer, a crafty business opportunist that peddles cell phones to bad guys. Not just any cell phones, though, and not even the latest iPhone or the Pixel. I'd really like to like. Right? I like the design. Like, I kind of want one of those.
I think those were built for commercial use.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Little more Panasonic Toughbook related, potentially.
Yeah, a little durable.
But they are they run on a thing called the Arcane Wireless Network. A network so impenetrable, so untraceable, criminals for years have been using it to get away with all kinds of things. The latest criminal showing interest is human trafficking crime lord Odin Interdonado, which every time I heard that, I was like thinking like Intergalactic from the Beastie Boys. Interdonado, Interdonado.
Planetary Interdonado.
He's got operations all over the world, and after a few demonstrations of tech by the Seer, Interdonado decides to use the phones exclusively. I'm going to say it that way now for the rest of the podcast.
Now I can't not hear it.
Meanwhile, Aram runs into an old mentor this week, F.J. Powell, who we come to find out is applying for Aram's old job over at Greylock. This causes a little bit of jealousy on Aram's part, and he does some digging to find that FJ is hiding, if not helping, the Arcane Network. Upon confronting him, however, we found out that the FBI are the ones that are actually behind Arcane Wireless, but not in enough time for Wrestler and Dembe to take out the Seer and bust up a years-long operation and millions of dollars in R&D. Even bigger, though, is that these phones were actually inside of Red's network, which is while Hetty in the cold open, who was peddling pirated soybeans, was taken down and busted for the trafficking. And then thankfully, Hetty obviously survives a test from Red in prison, and she is loyal as can be and sprung, and they share in a ritual together in the trailer with Red and company. So overall, Arcane Wireless, what say you, Rory? Like this idea, this concept of a black market, you can't find anything phone?
I like the episode was great. You know, as far as they could have done so much more with it, that's just my opinion. But the actual network itself was pretty cool. They're going to use that to bust up criminals. They're going to give it to them, telling them it's secure, but the whole time they're actually recording them. Come on. And how would Red ever let something like that slip into his organization? He's too focused on something else.
The Seer was actually really crafty. I thought the Seer had a really great command of presence. I thought he had a really great sales pitch. I love the whole bomb threat concept. And he's just like, yeah, it's gonna take this much time for this to happen and this much time for this to happen. And by that, no one's going to show up. Then when no one shows up, you'll buy my phones. And he's like, yep, I'm going to buy your phones.
Anybody want to play cards? Solitaire it is.
I'm more of a euchre guy myself, being from the Midwest. Yeah.
I just learned what that is, thankfully. I know what you're talking about. But, you know, the interesting thing was I got a person of interest vibes off of this. Because remember, they had the mesh network.
Oh, yeah, with the machine
and
everything.
They had their own phone system.
Sure.
So I kind of got that vibe off of it, which a big person of interest fan myself. So I liked the concept of it. I liked where they were going with it. I liked the fact that they didn't turn it until towards the end of the episode where you figure it out. So it played out. You're thinking this is real the whole time. But this is what, the second network? What was the other one? Art Attacks Network?
Yeah, the Art Attacks
Network. That we had before?
Yep.
So all these networks are just floating around in the ether. I'm glad we're using it to our advantage now, at least, to go after criminals and not let them use it to get away with it. But at the end, as an episode itself, it just fell flat because it didn't connect to anything else.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing for me was that we got to the twist, and I was like, oh, man, the twist. I didn't see that coming. That's pretty good. Because there was two twists, really, right? It was the twist of, oh, FJ, man, what are you doing? Why are you a bad guy? Like, you were a Rom's mentor. Like, this is not cool, man. Not cool. And then you find out that he's not actually a bad guy. He was actually the good guy who created the network in the first place. And then
he is actually cool.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I'm just like, man, this is like such a great, great twist. It's a great hour of television. I was thoroughly entertained the entire time. I think that the bad guy was cool. I think that the network was cool. I think the bits between Aram and FJ were great. I mean, a lot of this episode is really, really great television. Kudos to Sam for putting it down on paper. I think, like you said, the thing that frustrated me with the episode was at the end when Cooper was like, oh, and you're just going to come in there and fill the void with your stuff. And Red's like, nah, I'm good. I got other fish to fry. And I'm just like, then what's the point of the episode?
Right. Well, the whole point, I guess the whole point of it was that he took down the network knowing that it was in his inner circle and now he doesn't have to worry about it. He blew it up.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way you could look at it. Sure. You could say, like, because it's, he knew that it was the phones were the problem, you know, for the soybean bust, you know, that he wants to get rid of the network so they can make sure it's flushed out of his entire operation, even if he's not moving in to take over everything that Interdonato was taking care of himself.
Right. I mean, that's, you know, the real only way to look at it, because he didn't steal the technology for himself to use. He's also the Dread Pirate Roberts now.
Correct.
So does he really need to get involved with these little, you know, organizations anymore? And he's also so blind. He's got blinders on to focus on who's to blame for killing Liz when ultimately we all know it's him.
Which is how the phones got into the operation in the first place, because he's got these blinders on and Marvin basically told him, make sure you're watching your back because of everything that's been going down.
Right. And that's what makes him vulnerable. And that's kind of what's been played all along, was that Red's vulnerability was he was so focused on other things, being Liz, that he didn't see all these other things coming. He had a blind spot for Liz. And now he's got a blind spot for trying to find out who killed Liz.
Well, the other thing that made this episode really great is that music was actually back. We had two songs this week. First one was called Line of Fire from Jose Gonzalez. It basically is at the end of the episode when Aram references a call from Red and Hetty, was actually doing the thing with Red, you know, the little ritual that she never got to see before. So I thought that was a really great song. I added that to my, I have a playlist of my own that I keep for like inspired songs of 2022 that kind of mean something to me. And I added Line of Fire from Jose Gonzalez over to that playlist, which is really, really great. But we started the episode with a classic, right? While Hetty and her soybean operation was taking on, we heard Open Up the Door, Let the Good Times In by one Dean Martin. I mean, that's a pull from the archives. So great song. So if you want to hear those again, you can go ahead and find them. They're on the playlist, both Apple and Spotify. We have links to both playlists over on the website at theblacklistexposed.com. Well, characters this week, there really wasn't much for Cooper, Wrestler, Park, and Dembe other than just doing the job. I thought that Park and Aram had Park and Aram kind of had it felt like they had like a little friendship brewing. That's something a little bit new, I think, that we haven't seen before between the two of them. What say you?
Yeah, it was interesting to try to see it. Like, the way I saw it was Park trying to be Aram's inner voice. You know, we'll get into, you know, Aram, you know, this week, because it was pretty much centered on him this week. But, you know, the other characters were pretty much wallpaper, you know, as I call them. They were there, but they didn't really do much. Cooper had the one conversation at the end with Red that we talked about before. Wrestler had, one or two lines. Dembe, I don't even know if he said anything this week, did he?
He said Interdonato twice.
That's going to be stuck in my head now, and I'm going to blame you. I'm going to have to all go day listen long, to that song.
You'll be like going to the grocery store doing the Saturday chores, and you're going to be like, Interdonato.
Planetary Interdonato. Oh, my God. I'm such a Beastie Boy fan. But, yeah, I mean, they really didn't, you know, do much. And that was the one thing I honestly was looking forward to, because we really haven't spoken much about, you know, in going into season 9. But that was the one thing I was interested in, was that now we'll have more time. And we talked about it towards the end of season 8, too, is with Liz going out of the picture. Now you have more time to develop the other characters that can take up her screen time.
Right.
So I thought that would be fun.
And I think that was the challenge for the season so far, because, you know, Aaron and I talked about it. Like, the one thing that was great about this episode is we didn't go back to the past for the first time this season. Right. We're actually moving forward, which was great. We did develop the characters, but we developed the characters in the context of the past. Like, let's start to develop the characters in the context of the future. Let's see Dembe use his FBI skills. Let's see Wrestler overcome his drug addiction. Let's see Park become another better person, if you will. And I think this was really good for Park in this particular episode because it really showed her in a different light than what we had seen in the past from her, as far as her crazy, you know, jump to conclusions, beat people up and throw them through windows, crazy blood face. You know, we're seeing Park, the more calculated, the more trainer, leader, you know, confidant. She talks to Wrestler about his issues. She's talking to Rom about how he should feel about the situation today. I think that Park has really grown as a very interesting character. I think Laura's doing a really great job playing the role.
I agree. I mean, because, you know, you think about it, anytime you would normally think that, you know, Park would be the voice of your conscience, you'd normally be in trouble.
For sure.
You know,
for sure.
If she was in your brain, you'd be like wanting to kill somebody or beat up somebody. But now she's actually being the voice of reason.
Which is really an interesting twist.
I wonder if it has something to do that she's changed as a person because she got hit with that weapon. She lost a baby. If it changed her as a person.
It could be.
I'd like to see that story.
Exactly. Like, how did she go through that shift, and how did she overcome her past, you know, issues with her mom and her past issues with her time in Alaska and all that fun stuff?
Right, because the way they've written her character so far, since, you know, we've seen her, you know, enter the fold, she's been a development, a work in progress. We only knew her as she had trouble in Alaska. Then we find out that she had, you know, an addiction in her family. So there's more to her character that I'd like to see develop now that we have time to show these characters on the show.
Well, let's talk about the big two that we focused on this week, right? Being Aram. So Aram and FJ's relationship, what did you think of that?
I liked it. But, you know, I'd like to see Aram develop more as a character because it always seems like he's timid. He shies away. He has buyer's remorse, what I call it, instantly on everything. He makes a decision and then he sits there and regrets that decision. Develop him as a character. He's been like that since the beginning,
yeah,
you know, where he's been hesitant and shy and timid. He became an agent. We thought he'd get a little stronger. He has moments, but he's still not there yet.
Yeah. In like in season four, right? The rail gun and he shot somebody and he's like doing the things he needs to do. I think of Rom going out in the field, you know, toilet water comes to mind right from season six. There's a whole bunch of like really great Rom moments, especially the one with the girl in the Faraday cage where the field, he seems a lot more confident. And then when he's back doing his techie stuff, it seems like the character's almost regressed in a way.
Right. Right. But he just hasn't developed emotionally on the show. I mean, he doesn't even have confidence in his abilities. I mean, that's kind of what I read into in the final conversation with FJ, was FJ telling him, like, hey, you made a decision. You made the right decision. You're doing good things. Don't doubt yourself. And here he is still full of self-doubt.
Yeah. It's almost like, you know, if there was a way to bring Navabi back, because Navabi gave him the confidence. And now that since Navabi's been gone, he's almost like gone backwards to what he used to do.
Right. You know, he, you know, if you remember when he entered the show, what was it? Wuzhan, like episode two or three, season one, he entered the show. He was the tech guy. So watching him develop into an agent was great, but he hasn't developed as a person. He stood up to Red. He put his foot in the door, stood up to, you know what I mean? He's had those moments.
Stood up to the
but
director.
He hasn't fully jumped. Yeah, like we need more of that, Aram, because we need more of a forward person now. But I think because you have Wrestler and Dembe, he still can't be that guy.
What about, you know, this conundrum? So millions of dollars given up to do the good work. Do you think you could have given up millions of dollars?
You know, it's hard to say not being in that position, but come on, in today's day and age, you got to take the money. You could still do good work after you take the money.
Right. You could at least let the thing IPO first and then, you know, back out, right, and get your shares paid out, you know, for selling your half of the company.
Even if you had to stay for a year.
Right.
Doesn't mean you still can't do stuff for the FBI.
Exactly correct. Because the technology was already built, right? His contribution to Greylock was the IP versus, you know, actually having to run the business on a daily basis.
Right. And chances are he would be in enough of a position where he wouldn't be hands-on day to day. He'd have a team working for him.
What'd you think about FJ and his concept of forgiveness? I thought that was really clever about how you haven't said, I'm sorry, or, you know, forgive you or whatever. And like Aram's going through the list. It's like, I got to forgive you for this and forgive you for this. And he's like, and you have to forgive yourself. I thought that was a really great moment.
I liked it because it got me in the beginning. Cause I was watching it and I'm saying, wow, this guy's really, he's a dick. Like he's making him apologize for all these things. Like, okay. And then at the end, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. He was doing that for his benefit, getting to admit all his faults and then telling him, okay, let those things go. And I was like, that's a really cool moment. He's still being his mentor.
And that's the one thing people don't understand about forgiveness, right? Forgiveness isn't about like, let's say you stole something from me, right? I could forgive you for stealing something from me. But the reason why I'm forgiving you is not because I want you to feel better. It's because I need to feel better about it. So forgiving is actually allowing yourself to be forgiven at the same time too. It's a really, you know, it's a hard concept to say, like, cause otherwise you like hold on to this thing and it just eats you up inside. But forgiving someone is for you. It's not for them.
Yes. And what I liked about it was I thought they, and I could be wrong, but I thought they kind of took from what goes on in the world today. Whereas an apology is, I'm sorry if I offended anybody. Not that I'm sorry for what I did. Not that I'm sorry for what I said. I'm just sorry if I offended anybody. Like, that's today's apology. So I thought that that was kind of a neat play on that, if they did that intentionally.
All right. So let's talk about Red here for a bit. So he has Hetty in jail. Marvin comes in. What'd you think about the hearing aid concept? I thought that was kind of cool.
I liked it. I liked it. He was still wearing it at the end when he was talking to the prosecutor. He still had it in. And I was like, is he just going to get used to it? Just have Red. Imagine having Red in your ear all the time when you're trying to like have conversations and just Spader talking in your ear.
Well, he's got to play the part, right? Because now that they've seen him with the hearing aid in, he's got to always have the hearing aid in. So I thought that was a really great production moment, because when he came back in at the end to show like, hey, I'm still actually the same character. I'm the same lawyer. I still have the hearing problem. So I thought that was really great production value added to the show to make sure that you got that continuity. Because I think if he came back without the hearing aid, I think it would have been an issue.
Right. Because who's going to question a hearing aid?
Exactly. It's like, yeah.
You know, guys, I could be like, let me look at this. Let me check it out. Put it in my ear. See if it works.
Yeah.
What does it do?
You're going to completely offend a hearing impaired, a deaf person. It's like, yeah.
Exactly.
No. What'd you think of the test? Did Red need to test Hetty? Do you think that Red was worried about Hetty at all ever?
I think with everything that's going on, I think that was just a reflex of that's just how Red rolls. If you want to be in Red circle, you got to be prepared for stuff like that. Because didn't he do that with the other guy? What was his name? The circus guy with the trains.
Oh, yeah.
Then he did the loyalty test. Remember, he brought the other guy into the bar and they pretended they didn't know each other, but Red knew they knew each other. And they were doing, he was running drugs on the trains.
Right. Smokey Putnam.
Smokey Putnam, exactly. And he wound up killing him. So there's always a loyalty test with Red if you make him doubt your loyalty at all. And if you have a chance to go into prison and say 20 years or you talk, most people are going to talk.
I would agree.
That's how the mob came. That's how they took the mob down. That's how they did all these other things. Everybody just says, hey, if I can save myself, I'm going to give you up. That's just the way it is. So in Red's business, he's got to test everybody, but it's an overlying theme. Enough is enough.
I love that he's got a judge that he's able to get into the public prosecution angle so that he could get a lawyer in there that worked for Red. So that way things would play out the way they did to do the test. I thought that was a little creative maneuver as well.
Of course. Look, if you have that many connections, you got to have connections to everything somehow. So how do they arrange, again, whatever money it takes, he said, they can just get it switched to a different judge's, you know, docket. Like, that's how it works. It's just that easy. I don't think it's that easy to do.
Do you think Red's unfocused? Do you think that he's spending too much time on the Liz stuff and not worrying about running the business?
I mean, we're not seeing it. You know, at least this episode, we didn't see him going into the Liz things. But we know that's obviously what he's referencing. You know, when Marvin's talking to him and everything else, we know what they're talking about. But why are we? Is this going to happen again? Red loses his focus on what's important because he's so focused on the past and so focused on Liz that somebody's going to come in and take it. We've seen this show already.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't want to go down that road again.
Like, what did he gain out of this, right? We kind of chatted a little bit. Like, maybe he got it so that he could remove the phones from inside of his operation, potentially. But at the end of the day, this didn't produce any kind of thing that would drive the find Liz's killer story. So do you feel like the episode is like, yeah, it's great television and it was awesome and I had a lot of fun and the twist was great. But in the concept of the blacklist, does this episode make sense?
No. Again, a complete agreement. As a show on its own, loved it. Loved it. It was cool, liked the concept, liked how the show portrayed it, liked how it played out. But it didn't reference anything. We didn't, you know, we always talk about filler episodes and moving the story forward. This literally didn't touch on anything that's been any overlying theme. It had nothing to do with Cooper. It had nothing to do with, you know, Liz's killer. It was just a standalone episode that was good. It was all about Marvin, Aram, and testing Hetty's loyalty. That's really the crux of the show.
All things that we've seen in the past as well.
Yeah. So how do you, this is the only thing that bothers me is you knew you were going to be off for this amount of time. They didn't have a cliffhanger. So they didn't have like a winter finale cliffhanger to come back to. So they just came back with this.
Yeah. It's like,
you've been off.
You got to come back with something big, something bombastic. Something exciting.
Like, or a nugget, something.
Something that sets up the next 13 episodes for the rest of the season.
Right. Because the last time we left Cooper, he had gotten put on notice essentially that they know he fudged with things.
Right. And to come back and not have anything about Cooper's story at all is
nothing
is weird to me. Like that's the thing that's driving the show forward is the Cooper mystery at this point. So we need to lean into the Cooper mystery until it's solved, or at least have doing this week tie into the Cooper mystery.
Unless they're actually going to go down the road of Red investigating or trying to find out who killed Liz or how Liz was killed, unless they're going to actually go on that, then you have to be on the Cooper storyline. It's got to be one or the other or both.
Because you got to remember, like, at the end of the day, this is a Netflix show also in the international markets. And if people like to binge this, which they do when the season drops on Netflix to catch up, it's like, you got to give me something that makes me want to come back next week. And right now there isn't stuff happening that's making me want to come back next week. I mean, I come back next week because I like the characters, but a typical viewer is looking for the hook, especially if you're watching it on a streaming service. You got to have something that's going to be like, watch next episode now, watch next episode now. And there just isn't that. And watch next episode now.
No. And you know, and that's part of it too, is I don't mind, you know, filler episodes or standalones or anything like that. But if you're going to have this overlying and you're going to drag the Cooper story for the entire season, which is fine, I'm okay with that. You got to drip, drip, drip in each episode.
Right.
You can't just drip, drip, skip a couple, drip again, skip a couple more. Like, it's got to be present in your mind saying, oh shit, that's right. That story is still going on.
Exactly.
What's going on with that? Right now, I didn't think for one second. Every time I saw Cooper pop on the screen for the two or three times, I was like, oh, here. No, he didn't. Oh, wait. Nope. We didn't do that either. Oh, wait, we've read. Nope. Nothing about Liz. So what was the episode about? Just about the network and getting it out of Red's thing and that somebody's infiltrating his network. Okay. But that's not the blacklist.
Right. Or at least not the blacklist that we're used to anyway, as fans.
And again, even without the mythology, the show is still there. You're still running the premise of the show. But again, you cannot just drop storylines for a whole episode.
Yeah, because it's going to depend on, you know, which loyal fans stay, which loyal fans go, because it's really the loyal fans that are truly the ones that made season 10 happen, right? Because we're still sticking at that point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and the whole time, I would say, through the first 8 seasons, again, I don't try to be the voice of the fans. I try to be the voice of this fan. Through the first 8 seasons, it was frustrating, but you were frustrated to the point that you really had things to hold on to. Who was Liz to Red? Who is Red? You had all these things, and they dragged it for all those 8 seasons, and it frustrated the fans and the fan base and this fan. But when the answers came, I was good with it. I was okay with it. We'll move on to a new season. I'm invested in the characters. But where are we going with this?
Exactly.
It's not going anywhere.
Especially knowing that you got 22 on the other end of the 12.
Yeah, it's a train. Right? we bought the ticket, we hopped on the train, but the destination's nowhere right now.
Exactly. What are the signposts that are laid out for us to hit as we go along? That's the question.
Right. You know, it's like that excitement when you're looking out the window of the train for 12 hours that you're taking to go see you guys in Chicago. But when you're looking out and you're trying to see the picture and you're saying, oh, we're getting closer. Oh, we're getting closer. But then all of a sudden the mile markers stop and you're like, wait, how far are we?
It's a great way to think about it.
You don't know.
Great way to think about it.
It just, we don't know where we're going right now. And that's the frustrating part. But now I'm not seeing anything. All right. Well, we want to take a quick second to say thank you to those of you that's supporting the show by going to Patreon. That's Patreon, patreon.com/theblacklistGSM. Special big thanks to our honorary blacklist, Patricia. Also, special shout out to our task force members, Judy, Matt, Karen, Marilyn, Ryan, Cindy, James, Jens, Justin, Lacey, and Joni and Johnny, all official task force members. All of these people received cool gifts from us, and you can get a cool gift as well for donating at the $20 level or higher. Do you want a cool t-shirt, coffee mug? Come on, you know you do. You don't have to stay at the $20 level forever. Just a few months to get the cool gifts.
And remember, we are on Fridays now, Fridays for the rest of the season. So the way the $5 level is going to work is that we're still going to try to record in advance. We'll drop the podcast, obviously, right after the show airs on Friday nights for the $5 patrons and then everybody else on Saturday at some point. So make sure you get in there if you want the podcast right away. Go over to Patreon. That's patreon.com/theblacklistGSM. Click the dollar sign in your podcast app or fill the fedora on the website and get some awesome rewards for yourself. Stay tuned. We got much more show coming up right after this.
What if you could live your life without limits, where every desire you ever imagined could be fulfilled? Experience Westworld, a show where every human's dark side will be revealed. After watching each episode, listen to Beyond Westworld, a podcast featuring humans and hosts from around the park, diving deep into HBO's illustrative narrative. Every hero has a code, and so do you. Download your itinerary and the show at beyondwestworldpodcast.com or your podcast app of choice.
Hey, this is Amir. I play Aram on The Blacklist, and you are listening to The Blacklist Exposed.
All right, so let's go on to Special Agent Intel. We got this one from Wendy Davies. She said, I enjoyed it. I love having Marvin on the show. I hope we see more of him this season. Since Dembe is out of the picture, they do need someone for Red to be his sounding board. I wouldn't go as far as to say Marvin has a moral compass, but he does tell Red what he thinks when issues arise.
Yeah, and Weecha doesn't say anything at all, so.
He speaks when he needs to.
Did you notice that she's got like a stance? Like I noticed when they were, in Cooper's office, I think it was, and Weecha's like standing in the background. She's got this like arms crossed thing where she kind of like leans backwards. It's like she just has like a look to her, right? A presence. I just found that it was interesting.
You know what they call that? Waiting. They call that the wait. She's just waiting. I do. I agree. I like Marvin on the show too. You know, I wish he had more of a role before. I'm glad he did now, but I don't know. The dynamic just seems off.
Well, it seems interesting too, that after 2 years, like you have to remember Red beat the crap out of him. A goat kicked him in the nuts.
With a goat.
So the fact that
I didn't beat you up. I beat you up with a goat.
The fact that Marvin's actually here now, like being the confidant and trying to understand that like he's like the number two because Dembe's no longer the number two, I guess, in this regard. It's interesting to see, you know, Fisher Stevens do his work always. Love Fisher Stevens, but it's a matter of, you know, is Marvin adding value? And I think this episode was great with Marvin. I love the lawyer talk. And it's like, you're going to go down and, you know, I hope that your bosses don't come down on you and blah, blah, blah. It's really great to see him on the show. I hope we get to see more of him.
Yeah, he's literally a criminal lawyer. You know, so I like that the guy tried to stick it to him a little bit. But Marvin knows what he's about. He don't care.
It's all good. It's all good. You know who wasn't good, though? Who wasn't good was Taylor Lynn, Harrison, Michelle Jones, and Don Last, who were very disappointed in the episode. One even said, yawn.
Again, I can see it, but as a super fan of the show, I liked the episode. The episode was good. I don't like how it fit in with the overlying season 9, though.
Yeah, I think there's a group of people that are just in it for Red. Like, Red needs to be bad. Red needs to be grumpy. Red needs to blow up people. Red needs to yell at people. Red needs to shoot people. Give me my Reddy Bear. Reddy Bear, Reddy Bear, Reddy Bear. Where the rest of us are kind of like, just give me a good story. Like, I just want to escape for 44 minutes.
Right.
But have it connected to everything else that we've been talking about. Like Dorothea Carney, who said, was the storyline where Cooper is being framed for murder of his wife, old lover, ever resolved? Did I miss something? Question mark.
No. Yeah, you could have missed this episode and still been in the same spot. That's what my fear is. If you don't, even if you spend 2 minutes on it, it still keeps it fresh in people's mind that, oh yeah, that's really going on. Because here you have, Cooper didn't seem worried one bit about all this stuff going on.
Yeah, not nervous about losing his job.
I'm freaking out.
Totally. Agree.
You know, I'm freaking out what's going on because obviously all that I'm trying to keep undercover, somebody knows about. I'm running, you know, things to find out, like, okay, my gun was fired. Okay, the bullet did match. I know that I'm being set up, and I'm not worried at all. And I don't know if you caught this either. It just clicked for me, too, that Red basically told Cooper, there's going to be a time you're going to need me. And remember, it works both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a setup to whatever's going to happen with Cooper, he's going to have to get Red involved in.
Agree.
To try to help him. And he basically told it to him. He said, yeah, this one was on me. This one was about me. But there's going to be a time you're going to need me. And, you know, one hand washes the other. We're all good.
Well, I think that's going to do it for this week. Real great episode. Nice job for Sam and Michael putting it together and the team as always. So we'll be back hopefully next week to figure out what the plan for the podcast is going forward.
Yeah, and I'd like to see how everybody votes. I think I would vote every other week. I think you can get away with it because there's going to be weeks where you're going to have episodes you're going to really want to talk about.
All right.
So, well, with that, we'll conclude this discussion. So now is the time to recommend The Blacklist to your friend, your enemy, your neighbor. And when you do, please recommend they listen and subscribe to The Blacklist Exposed podcast. All the case profiles can be found at theblacklistexposed.com and everywhere great podcasts can be heard.
And for more great Aaron and Troy hijinks, and Rory, you'll even be back a few times this season in March. Follow us over on your favorite social media outlets. I'm at Troy Heinrichs. Aaron smirks over there. Rory, what's your Twitter handle?
I'm at BB Rizzler.
BB Rizzler. That's right. And together we are all at the Blacklist GSM. Talk about the show, the podcast, or what your favorite cell phone provider is. We'd love to know, especially around the world, like what cell phone companies are out there that you guys use around the world. It'd be fun to find out.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I'm used to the big three.
And remember, don't forget to answer the profiling question, which is more of a podcast poll, some housekeeping. Let us know. Would you listen to the podcast if it was three episodes at one time, or would you rather prefer us to stick with the week-by-week concept for the rest of the year? Really just kind of seeing if we could try something different. If you guys don't want it that way, then we'll keep doing it the way we do it, because we obviously do the show for you, the fans, not for us.
Yes. So if you're interested, vote. You want to make a difference? Vote. You want to hear your voice heard? Vote. It's just that simple.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much again for filling in this week, Rory. And yeah, we'll see you back in mid-March for sure.
Well, thanks for having me, and I can't wait.
All right. We'll see you next time, everybody. Peace out. Be well.
See ya.
Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, well, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at 5Popcorn. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the Blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.